comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Couple of quick things because you matter. We have new listeners every night. Some will not have heard of the fact that we have a free weekly newsletter, and it's called the K-Files. So head on over to our website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files right in the middle of your screen. You can't miss it. You can subscribe in a matter of seconds, and you'll get a confirmation email with a link in it that you have to use to activate your subscription. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. There's an unsubscribe link in every edition. Our members area is something you really, really ought to be taking part in. Now, the members area has a lot of features that, you get to listen to the show for free. That's true. In the members area, you can watch the show free. Well, not free, but it's... there's no extra charge. It's part of the package. And you can watch the show live. And then if you happen to miss the show, we capture it and upload it. And it's available to you for the next 24 hours at your convenience. You can watch the show that we just did, the latest show we did. But we also have chat. We have forums. We've got a library of free ebooks for you to download. We've got the Video Galaxy where you can go and watch videos that we have uploaded there. Upcoming in our, and there's a whole bunch more. You have your own blog, your own profile page, your friends page, private messaging, lots and lots and lots of stuff. And it's only right now 23 cents a day. You can lock it in for the next year. That's $6.95 a month. But we have, coming up real soon, we'll be opening up a brand new members community. It won't be called the members area anymore, and it won't just be a name change. All of the things you already have in the members area, you will have in the new members community, but in addition to that, there will be additional features that we don't have yet. For instance, you'll be able to upload video clips and share those with your friends in the members area. That's one of the things, and quite a number of other things as well. It's really cool. You want to lock in the price as it is now, because when we open up the new members area, the new members community, the price will go up slightly, not much. But you can lock it in for the next year by joining right now before we do that. What do you think of when you hear me say the words, the Pentagon's Intergalactic Defense Project? Sounds like too much science fiction. Sounds like I've been watching too much Star Wars, right? Well, those very words have been plastered all over the Internet on news sites for the past several days. You'll find these words on tabloid sites, mainstream media news sites, and everything in between. Tonight, we're going to dive in and see whatever we can see of the Pentagon's Intergalactic Defense Project, and we'll start with that right after this. All right. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As we went away for break, I teased you a little bit, didn't I? I gave you something to think about, and that something to think about was, what do you think about? How does it strike you if you hear me or if you hear somebody else say these words, the words being the Pentagon's Intergalactic Defense Project? Now, the first time I heard that, honestly, I thought, okay, this is some more of that stuff. Some more of the frequent fecal matter that we run into in the field of UFOs. In the field, in the world of the strange and unexplained. And we do run into a lot of that. But then I noticed, I mean, within a matter of seconds, I noticed, you know what? This is on a reputable news site. They're using these words, and the words are, and I quote, the Pentagon's Intergalactic Defense Projects. Those words are plastered, as I said, all over the internet. Those words are on, they're in, you'll find them in articles on sites all over the internet. Now, interestingly, you will find those words, you'll find an article where it talks about that, and that same article will appear on a whole bunch of different sites. But there are various articles, not just one, where those words are used. And these are also plastered all over the internet. And it happened last week. What is it that caused that to happen? Now think about those words now. The Pentagon's intergalactic. That doesn't just mean it's in outer space, ladies and gentlemen. It means a defense project that is designed to operate between galaxies, intergalactic. We are in the Milky Way. The next galaxy is many light years away from us. So think of the weight and the importance of that term, intergalactic defense project. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome indeed. But is there any reality to it? So that's what we're going to dive in and take a look at here tonight. And why did these words show up out there on the internet? Why last week did suddenly, just like that, these words showed up in articles on everything from tabloids to mainstream media websites and everything in between? What spawned that? See, I think a lot of people are of the opinion that NASA's got the latest, greatest stuff going when it comes to spaceflight. And the fact is, NASA has absolutely nothing going right now. They've canceled the shuttle program. They're working on actually a Starship. And they have announced that. Look, those of you who are chuckling and saying that's nuts, listen, they have announced that. They announced that several weeks ago, and let me find the report on that. There we go. The director of NASA's Ames Center, Research Center, has promised to deliver a spacecraft that can travel between different worlds within the next few years. This is in, he said that his division, his name is Simon Warden, and his division had started a project with DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, called the 100-Year Starship. The DARPA-funded project uses a new form of electromagnetic propulsion, and the first true prototype will be ready within a few years. Mr. Warden said the space program was now really aimed at settling other worlds. That's NASA. Okay, that's not Star Trek. That's not Star Wars. It's not Galaxy Quest. That's NASA. But a lot of people are of the opinion that NASA has the latest, greatest toys when it comes to going into space. And there are a few folks out here, quite a number, actually, and I am among them, who suggest that, in fact, NASA stuff is almost Stone Age compared to what the military has. It's what the military has that spawned the use of those words, the Pentagon's intergalactic defense projects. It doesn't say the Pentagon's space-based defense projects. It says intergalactic. The one I'm looking at here has it worded a little bit different. It says intergalactic defense projects that the Pentagon is exploring. So, they're exploring intergalactic defense projects. I think we'll explore the same. And the first question that came to my mind was that if this is true, is there any evidence at all that would suggest that it is true? And actually, the event that spawned those words is the first piece of evidence that we're going to look at, and it is the launch of a hypersonic aircraft. It was a test aircraft called the HTV-2B. Now, the reason it's called HTV-2B is because the HTV-2A was test flown back in April, and you didn't know about it. I didn't know about it. Nobody knew about it. This time, with the HTV-2B to be launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base, it was to be launched on a Minotaur rocket. This time, DARPA announced it to the whole world on Twitter. Can you believe it? Now, this HTV-2B, normally, not always, but normally when you see the T, the T in its name, HTV, stands for transport. Not always, but normally. Could stand for technological or technology. Could stand for a lot of other things, but normally they use that to stand for transport. Like with the shuttle, we call it the shuttle, the space shuttle. That isn't what they call it. They call it STS. That stands for Space Transport System. So HTV, I'm taking that to mean hypersonic transport vehicle. The HTV-2A and 2B were unmanned, and they were scaled-down models. They were only 12 feet long. They're test vehicles, and it could be that the T stands for test, hypersonic test vehicle. Could be that. but you could scale it up and make it possible for the thing to be manned. So here comes DARPA and puts it out on Twitter that, hey, you know what, guys? We're going to do a test, and this test is of a hypersonic vehicle. And they publicize to the whole world the date and time of their expected launch. Now, they had to wait 24 hours because of weather, but they put it out there. They made it public, and one more thing they did. They told the whole world that this thing was capable of flying 13,000 miles per hour, Mach 20. Now, you might be asking yourself, yeah, so what? Here's so what. They don't do things without a reason, folks. The SR-71... went into service in 1965, that beautiful, magnificent superplane. Some people call it the Blackbird. Beautiful, magnificent, sleek, awesome-looking aircraft. It was top secret, and they never admitted they had it until just before they decided to retire it. When they decided to retire it, then they admitted they had it. But its top speed has never been disclosed to the world. It's still classified. It's retired, and its top speed is still classified. So here's one that's going to do a test flight, and they announced to the whole world that it can reach 13,000 miles per hour. Don't you find that just a little bit odd? I find that more than peculiar. You see, if there's a black hole in the information, that draws my attention. But also, when suddenly there's more light coming out of where we normally find a black hole, that draws my attention as well. Why would you announce to the whole world that this thing can fly up to 13,000 miles per hour when you will not announce to the world the top speed of a retired aircraft? Why? Don't you find that odd? So here we have a retired aircraft, and the official position is, we're not going to tell you what its top speed is. That's classified. Here we have a brand new test aircraft, and we're going to tell you what its top speed is. So that's the first oddity here. The price of this 12-foot wonder is close to $400 million. And this is the second time they've flown. The first time, the flight lasted only about 9 minutes, and then the thing crashed into the ocean. But on this flight, the HTV-2B, it launched, and it was sending back telemetry, and the flight, the whole flight lasted about 22 minutes. Some people said, some reports said 26 minutes. And it reached that top speed of 13,000 miles per hour. Now, here's the second odd thing. They told us its top speed, 13,000 miles per hour. Nothing, as far as we know, has ever flown in Earth's atmosphere that fast. As soon as, everything was fine, the test was going fine, the telemetry's coming down, it's being reported to the public is getting real-time information, how fast it's going, where it is, and so forth. And as soon as it hits 13,000 miles per hour, the telemetry stops. And they say, well, we lost it. Do you really think so? Maybe they did. But I just find it odd that they announced to the world a top speed. As soon as they prove to the world that they can do that top speed, telemetry stops. Is it just possible? I'm not saying this is the case, but is it just possible that the public feed on the telemetry, the telemetry that proves to the public that it's actually traveling at 13,000 miles per hour, it does its job, it proves that, and then maybe already in the programming, they have it set to stop sending that telemetry. It hits 13,000 miles per hour, sends that notice, bang, cuts the telemetry. And the test then, this is hypothetical, the test then continues, it doesn't crash, continues at above 13,000 miles per hour, significantly above, with telemetry being sent to an encoded private channel that the public doesn't get to see, doesn't get to listen to. Is that possible? Well, I think it is possible. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm just saying, and I wouldn't be saying this except the fact that this time they put it on Twitter. They announced it to the world on Twitter. Very public for a very secret program. And they announced a top speed. Those two things are excessively suspicious. And once that speed was achieved and the telemetry proves it for the world, then, well, we lost it. I don't know. You make of that what you will. I find that to be about as believable as Chinese wedding candles. I find that to be about as believable as swamp gas and weather balloons. But do with it what you will. I don't buy the story. I'm not sure what all the story is, but I don't buy that story. That doesn't make sense to me. But it was a result of this flight. It was as a result of this test that those articles started appearing and using the words the intergalactic defense projects of the Pentagon. More when we come back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about this whole idea of intergalactic defense projects that the Pentagon is exploring. Those are words that I've taken right out of one of these articles that they're plastered all over the Internet as a result of this test flight of the HTV-2B. Now, for those who are watching our TV channel, the HTV-2B is a wedge-shaped craft. And for those who are not watching our TV channel, if you will look on my website at the picture about tonight's show, you will see a craft with kind of a haze, a glow around it. That's an artist's conception of the HTV-2B. That's what they say it looks like. And as a result of the test flight of that thing, all of a sudden articles started appearing on the internet, on all kinds of sites, news sites, mainstream sites, tabloid sites, everything in between. And I'm going to read you the context of those words. And this article says, if the test proves successful, it may help fuel similarly intergalactic defense projects that the Pentagon is exploring as a means to combat terrorism and enemy states. Intergalactic to combat terrorism? Where? Intergalactic to combat enemy states? Where? I mean, you are aware of the fact that the Taliban are in Afghanistan and Pakistan. I mean, you are aware of the fact that's on Earth, right? You are aware intergalactic means between the Milky Way and any other galaxy. Okay. So, what if this is a phrase that the writer of the article just threw in and maybe used the wrong phrasing? It's possible. That sort of thing happens. Maybe it's a bad choice of words, right? Maybe. Is there anything else out there, credible information, that would lead us to think that perhaps those words are not poor phrasing? Is there anything else out there that's credible information that would cause us to think, well, you know, it's plausible that they do have some type of intergalactic a defense project going on? As a matter of fact, there is. Back on September the 25th, 2005, something took place in Canada. September the 25th, 2005, there was a speech given at the University of Toronto. And it was a speech that shook mainstream media, because it was a speech by Canada's former defense minister, Paul Hellyer, former defense minister of Canada. He's also a highly respected former defense minister. And here are just a few of his comments. He said, and I quote, UFOs are as real as the airplanes that fly over your head. That's a defense minister of Canada, former defense minister. He also said, and I quote, I am so concerned about what the consequences might be of starting an intergalactic war that I just think I had to say something. And then he goes on and says, and I quote, the United States military are preparing weapons which could be used against the aliens. And they could get us into an intergalactic war without us ever having any warning. Still quoting, the Bush administration has finally agreed to let the military build a forward base on the moon. This is not NASA going back to the moon. This is the U.S. military building a forward base on the moon, which will put them in a better position to keep track of the goings and comings of the visitors from space and to shoot at them if they so decide. Those are the comments of the former defense minister of Canada, a highly respected defense minister, Paul Hellyer. That was in 2005, 6 years ago. So 6 years ago, Mr. Hellyer, former defense minister of Canada, is publicly talking about the United States of America being really at the brink of ability to get us into an intergalactic war. He revealed to the world that the Bush administration had given the U.S. military the go-ahead to build a forward base on the moon. And he's talking about the development of weapons by the U.S. military that could be used against the aliens and could get us, and I quote, into an intergalactic war. So, is there anything from anybody credible that would point toward the idea that these words appearing on the internet now in these articles about the intergalactic defense project of the Pentagon, anything at all that would point to that and say that's at least plausible? Well, I think so. I think Mr. Hellyer and his statement 6 years ago in public, well publicized by the mainstream media, and certainly well publicized on all the UFO blogs and forums and so forth, I think those statements do point to the plausibility of those words appearing now being accurate and not poorly chosen words. Why would DARPA, why would the U.S. military announce on Twitter that they're going to do this test? The HTV-2B, that's what I'm referring to. Why would they announce that they're going to do this test? And why would they announce to the whole world that the top speed of this thing is around 13,000 miles per hour, Mach 20, when at the same time they will not tell you what the top speed is for the SR-71, and it's retired? As I said, you know, the first question that comes to my mind is, what's going on here? Ladies and gentlemen, there are probably several pieces of the puzzle that are in play all at the same time. It's quite likely that there are several nations that needed to get the message that we have capabilities well beyond what they can dream of having. In other words, it's possible that they wanted these nations to get the message, we can be at your door in an hour. And then they wanted to prove it to them, and so they made the test public. I mean, it's possible. I'm saying this is possible. It certainly has this effect, whether they intended it or not. You can believe this. You can take this to the bank. Every other military on the planet was watching and paying attention to this. Every other nation that has a military was watching and paying attention to this. So they got told, whether it was the underlying motivation and intention of this announcement or not, the effect is all these other nations got told, we can be at your door no matter where you are in an hour or less. And now let's light the fire in the tail of this bird and watch this baby fly. And they did. They took it up, and it performed beautifully. And it performed until it hit 13,000 miles per hour. At 13,000 miles per hour, at Mach 20, it's like they said, okay, we proved it to you. That's all you get to see. The telemetry stops. And they say, well, we lost it. You think they lost it? We have tracking stations all over this planet that were tracking that thing. NORAD can track things down to about 4 inches long. And they're tracking a million of them out in space. The tracking capabilities that are used for these kinds of tests are incredible. They're immense. They're classified. You think they lost it? If you believe they lost it, you gotta believe in Santa Claus, you gotta believe in the Easter Bunny, you gotta believe in swamp gas, Chinese wedding candles, and weather balloons. Now, did the scenario that I laid out earlier, is that what happened? Well, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, the scenario I laid out earlier was that they continued the test with the public telemetry stream shut down. And that they went much, much faster than 13,000 miles per hour. They had proved their point. My speculative scenario, they had proved their point. The whole world knew it. That's all the world gets to see. Message has been delivered. And now, let the real test begin. That's the speculative, hypothetical scenario that I put out there, and I don't know if that's true or not. But they lost it? I think not. I don't buy that. What if it really is part of the intergalactic defense projects of the Pentagon? And the test continued. And maybe this thing made a round trip to the moon or something like that. We'll be back after this. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about this whole idea about a intergalactic defense project of the Pentagon. Now, one of the questions that I can anticipate will be on your mind is, have I checked to see if there is such a project listed anywhere in the Pentagon's publications, any budget and all that? I did a little bit of that. I had a couple of other people do a little bit of that. There are probably clues, if it exists, there are probably clues that it exists in the budgetary paperwork somewhere. But the answer to my anticipated question, your anticipated question, is no, I didn't find anything, and they're not in the habit, actually, of just, you know, publishing all their secret stuff out there for everybody to see it. I think you can understand that. So we take what clues there are to see if, when we see smoke, is there fire? And the smoke here is this phrase being used in articles in reference to the launch of the HTV-2B. This phrase about intergalactic defense project of the Pentagon. So there's the smoke. Is there any fire? Is there anything credible that would lead us to say, okay, well, that's plausible. It could be. And I pointed out the statements of Paul Hellyer, the former defense minister of Canada, in which he talked openly about, number one, he was worried about the United States sparking, United States military sparking an intergalactic war. And he talked openly about the United States military preparing weapons that can be used in an intergalactic war. And he talked openly about President George W. Bush, remember him? About him giving the U.S. military the go-ahead to put a forward base on the moon. Something you haven't heard much about in mainstream media, right? Well, Paul Hellyer announced it at the University of Toronto, September the 25th, 2005. So, yes, I think there's some credibility there that points to the idea that this phrase being used in these articles is plausible and not ill-chosen words. What else? Well, those of you who have been listening to this show for a long time will remember the shows that I did in 2010 talking about the space-based space surveillance system. And I read to you from published material about the space-based space surveillance system. See, a lot of people think, oh, it's just satellites, spy satellites looking at the Earth. No, they are not. They are not looking at the Earth. They are not Earth surveillance. They are space surveillance. And the purpose, according to one of the articles that I shared with you, the purpose was to be able to identify and track deep space forces for both offensive and defensive purposes. Now, that's a line quoted almost verbatim right out of that article. The purpose is to look out into space, into deep space, to identify deep space forces, to track deep space forces for both offensive and defensive purposes. At the time when I did those shows, I asked the question, deep space forces? So who's out there? Who's coming? You might say, well, that's probably just some more of that internet stuff. That kind of thing doesn't even exist. Oh, yeah, it does. It certainly does. January of this year, they launched one of those. There are 10 in the system, and they launched one in January of this year from, I believe, Vandenberg. Yeah, it does exist. It's real. So there's some more credibility to the idea of intergalactic defense projects. I don't know if the space-based space surveillance system is part of that intergalactic defense system or defense project. I don't know. But it certainly could be, because it could be certainly a component of that, couldn't it? Because it's looking deep into space, not at Earth, and it's looking for deep space forces to identify them and to track them. So we've got Paul Hellyer saying that he's worried that the United States military has reached a point where they really could spark an intergalactic war. They are preparing weapons that can be used in that war. They have been given the go-ahead by President Bush to build a forward base on the moon for that purpose. or it could be used for that purpose. That's a lot of credibility. We have the space-based space surveillance system. That's another piece, a huge piece, of credibility for the idea that there may in fact be an intergalactic defense project or a number of intergalactic defense projects under the Pentagon, being done by the Pentagon. Again, I cannot tell you, I cannot sit here and tell you, and will not sit here and tell you that I know that there is an intergalactic defense project or projects at the Pentagon. I don't have documentation of that. What I do have is the smoke coming up right now off of the internet, and it's not just internet blogs, it's not just internet forums, it's showing up on news sites where that phrase is used. There's the smoke, and I went in search of, are there credible pieces of information that would fit that puzzle? Are there credible pieces of information that would say that's plausible? And I think there are. Now, there is yet another, well, I don't have time really to get into this, but there is another piece of information that I think lends credibility to the plausibility of this. And I already read it to you, and that was the NASA Ames Research Center director saying that they're working with DARPA. DARPA funded the project to build the 100-year starship, uses a new form of, and I quote, electromagnetic propulsion. That's pretty exciting. And what's the purpose of it? Well, it's called the 100-year starship. So, does that point to the possibility of an intergalactic defense project or projects by the Pentagon? I think it's another piece in the puzzle that does point that direction. For a long time, we've known that NASA is not 100% civilian, right? And here we have open statements. This project's being funded by DARPA. What else? There's more. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about some pretty weird stuff here this evening. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour, because you literally have missed, it's not a cliche, you have missed a universe of information. But the good thing is, if you happen to be a member of the Kevin Smith Show, you can catch it as a podcast. We call it K-Pods. You can catch that in the archives within a couple of hours after the show. Or you can watch this. People are watching live right now. You can watch it within a couple of hours after the show. It'll be uploaded, and it'll be there for 24 hours. Quick announcement, Jerry Wills, the associate host of this show, is traveling around the country right now, and he is conducting what he calls a Gateway Workshops. And he's got one coming up Friday and Saturday, August the 19th and 20th, at the Ricky Center in Columbus, Ohio. So if you've got any questions about that, if you want to attend, or if you have any questions about that, you can go to jerrywills.com and get the information, or you can call the Reiki Center at 614-486-8323. Again, the Reiki Center, 614-486-8323. If you are within driving distance of that, you need to go. If you've never met Jerry Wills in person, you need to go meet Jerry Wills in person. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. He's quite an amazing individual. All right, so tonight we're talking about this whole thing about whether or not there is something called the Intergalactic Defense Project or projects. And I've been sharing with you some little tidbits of information. Well, they're not really little. They're pretty big and they're pretty public. And they happen, you know, they're separated by space and time. And so one of them happens and then time goes by, another happens, and time goes by, another happens. And people don't put this together in their minds and say all of those are pieces of the same puzzle. I'm saying they could be. But even if they're not actually, structurally, operationally pieces of the same puzzle, they certainly are pieces of the big picture that point to there is something happening with deep space. There is something going on that has the U.S. military involved in deep space. And that part is a matter of pretty much public record because of the documents that are out there. Now, I do want to say this also. Everything I'm sharing with you tonight is in the public domain. I never try to rip the lid off of top secret stuff. And there's nothing I'm telling you about that is from top secret sources. This is all in the public domain. But, as I say, most people, because of the separation of time and the variability of the event, they don't put them together. Like Paul Hellyer in 2005 and the launch of a component satellite of the space-based space surveillance system in 2011, January. They don't put those together. But you got to put them together if what you're talking about is the possibility of an intergalactic defense project. They do go together, at least conceptually. All right, now, I told you there's more, and I hinted that it involves NASA. And it does. NASA is commonly said to be the civilian space program, and then, of course, there is the military space program. That's not exactly true. If what you mean is that NASA is the space program where we do get to know some things, and the military space program is the one where we don't get to know anything, that's true. But NASA is not a civilian space program. It's a hybrid. There are civilian components of the NASA space programs, but there are also Department of Defense components to NASA. They're on the Department of Defense organization chart. Their letterhead used to say, and I don't know if it still does, but it used to be on some of their letterhead that said Department of Defense. NASA is building something called the 100-Year Starship, and the director of Ames Research Center, by a fellow by the name of Simon Worden, W-O-R-D-E-N, was talking about it, and this article says that the DARPA-funded project uses a new form of electromagnetic propulsion. That's in the public domain. All right, now why am I making a deal about that NASA and the Department of Defense fit together. They go together like bread and butter. Well, because NASA sometimes does things. They have done missions that were top secret. You knew they did the mission. You knew there was a launch. But beyond that, we were told the mission is top secret. That's it. No more information about it. We know they went up. We know they came down. But that's all we know. But believe me, if you think NASA's the only thing going in space for the United States, you are so misinformed. NASA, well, the U.S. military launches into space far outnumber NASA's launches. So what role would NASA play in this? Don't you find it just a little bit odd that here we are at a period of time where NASA, on the one hand, has been poo-pooing the idea of Nibiru and Planet X? I mean, they really have. We got one of their astronomers, or maybe he's an astrophysicist or something, I don't know. Anyway, he did a video, it's on YouTube, where he talks about how silly it is, this whole thing about Planet X. And one of the things he does is answer questions that people post online at the NASA website. That's one of the things he does. And he did this video where he addresses the whole thing about Nibiru and Planet X, and he says it's just nonsense. So you can go find that. At the same time, we have CNN coming out, and the link to this will be in this week's K-File, so be sure you're subscribed. NASA comes out and announces, and CNN reports on it and announces that they have found something out beyond Pluto that's gigantic. They think it may be a dwarf star. It's at the edge of our solar system. And CNN reported on this. The New York Times then responded to that, and they said, indeed, it is not at the edge of our solar system. It's well into our solar system and approaching. Were you aware of that? Or were you asleep? We run an ad sometimes on our TV channel, and the captions say, where were you when the future arrived? You're aware of this, or were you asleep? Where were you when the future arrived? And then suddenly, we're not interested, NASA's not interested in going to the moon. But the big thing is to go look at asteroids. Wonder why? Who cares about looking at asteroids? I've even said that right here on the show. I can tell you, I have to change my tune now. NASA has a mission right now called Dawn. And this is a satellite that launched September the 27th, 2007. Took it a while to get there, but it is now in orbit around this asteroid or planetoid, Vesta. Now, when you look at the picture that they got back, they're so excited about it. So excited they finally got their satellite in orbit around Vesta. And they, hey, credit where credit's due. They should be excited. But, you know, I sort of poo-pooed the whole thing about going to asteroids. Who gives a rat's rear about asteroids? Well, the picture that Dawn sent back, the first close-up high-res picture of Vesta, has changed my opinion. And the reason it has changed my opinion is because, you know, it's a black and white picture. This looks like a big old chunk of rock out there, and, you know, it's got craters on it, and it's got a big scar mark across the top of it, and so forth. But what caught my eye were two features in this first picture. First of all of the craters just kind of look like craters, except one. It looks like a bullet hole. It looks like somebody shot a bullet through Vesta. Looks like a bullet hole. Of course, it's huge. It would be way bigger than a bullet, but that's the appearance it has. It looks like a bullet shot. There's another one that I noticed. Looks like it's got some kind of a something in this crater. It's kind of at an angle, kind of northeast, if you will, of the bullet hole. And it's got a circle around it. Now, these are weird. I mean, all these craters, you know, are basically circular. But this has a circle around a darker spot in the middle. So that caught my attention. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to just zoom in on this and see, is there anything interesting on Vesta? Why are we spending millions of dollars to go look at a big rock in space? Why are we spending millions of dollars to send a satellite to go look at freaking Vesta? Well, I have to say my attitude has changed, because when I zoomed in on that crater that looks like the bullet hole, that thing is highly developed. Now, people that are looking at our TV channel are seeing this, and I have three zooms here. And I did that because I want you to see that if I just gave you the big zoom, the biggest one that's on the screen, you might say, well, you know, that's pixelation. I want you to see that you can see those features right down to the smallest picture where there's no pixelation. This is highly developed. This crater has buildings. What are they? I don't know. And you might say, well, you know, those are natural features. Oh, come on. If you're looking at these, and folks, you know, I wish all of you were members so you could see this. If you're looking at this, and you can, with a straight face, tell me those are all natural features, if that's the case, I have to assume you've had a whole bottle of Glenfiddich by yourself in about 10 minutes. It is not pixelation. They are not natural features. They are structures. They are geometric in their shape. And especially over on the right side of that crater, there is what looks like some kind of structure that's in three rectangular parts. At both ends of that structure, there is a lot of structure on the edge of the crater. The three rectangular parts kind of set down in the crater. But on both ends of that, north and south, there's a huge structure, a huge building of some kind on both ends of that. Yeah, I've been... Oh, okay, all right. I got a flash message that said it's not Glenfiddich, it's Glenfiddich. Okay. So what we're looking at here is on an asteroid. It's on an asteroid where NASA has just in July of 2011 arrived and inserted the satellite into orbit. On the very first picture they've released to us, there are more pictures now. This is the first one. This very first picture they've released to us shows us that there is something in that crater. That's developed. As I said, I've given it to you in three zoom sizes. The smallest zoom size, you can see these structures. It's not pixelation. You can compare all three against each other, and you can see that's not pixelation. That's pretty clear. The photograph is pretty clear, and you can see some kind of structures there. Okay, now we know why I have taken back my snide remarks about whoop-de-doo, we're going to asteroids. I take it back. I take it back. Is that why we have a space-based space surveillance system? Is that just one example of why? Well, on this photograph of Vesta, I marked two places that were of interest to me. The one we just looked at is the one I said looks like a bullet hole in the picture as they released it. You know, all of the other craters are kind of shallow and really shades of gray. That bullet hole looks like a bullet hole. And I mean, it's black. And when you zoom in on it, in fact, without even zooming in, if you look at the picture as it was released by NASA, you can see, if you get up close, you can see all those same features that you can see when I zoomed in. But there's another area, kind of northeast on this picture, kind of at an angle up and to the right there. And it kind of caught my eye. I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. And on your TV screen, it's marked as B. So let's take a look at B. Again, I give you three zoom sizes. And that way you can see. It's not as clear. It's further away from the camera. And it's sort of as it's located sort of as you're going over the horizon or getting close to the horizon on Vesta. So it's a little bit blurry. Not like the bullet hole. That one's not too blurry at all. But in this one, you can see in all of the zoom sizes, you can see that the features are visible in all of the zoom sizes. And I've got arrows pointing out rectilinear features, sort of geometric shapes that sort of indicate some type of structures, especially in the lower left-hand side there. That really looks structured. It really looks artificial. The others are where the other arrows point are kind of questionable, but on the lower left-hand side, we can see pretty much a mass of rectilinear features, and they don't look natural. Now, I cannot say about this crater, I cannot say with as much certainty that this crater is full of artificial stuff. Can't say it with as much certainty as I can the bullet hole crater. Now, I'm the one who's calling it the bullet hole because it when you're not zoomed in on it, that's why it looks like a bullet hole. This thing has structures around it. All along the left and lower left side, actually, even at the 6 o'clock position, there's structures. There's something that appears to be metallic and rounded at the top. We're looking right down on top of it, and it's reflecting light. It's big, right at the 6 o'clock position. And there's building, there's structure, there's facility of some kind all around the edge of that crater. The only place where I don't see much structure is from about oh, I would say the 10 o'clock position to just after 12 o'clock. That may be, there may be some structure there. I can't see it. The rest of this is highly developed. So I have to say again that I take back everything I said about NASA going to asteroids. Is this something that is part of the intergalactic defense projects? Maybe. I mean, maybe this is a recon mission. Maybe that's what this is. It has a public face. It's publicly accessible. People know about it. Don't think anything about it. But you know something? Intelligence is gathered most of the time when you don't even think about it. When you're not even aware that you're saying anything important. And people who are in the intelligence business are picking up things from you that are important to them. You may say, well, I didn't say anything that I don't know anything that's of any value. You can't determine that. You don't know that. And so when you're talking to someone who happens to be an intelligence operative, first of all, you probably won't know that. If they're any good, you won't know it. Secondly, it's the things that you say that provide them the information they need, and you never even know what it is you said that provided that information. So this thing with NASA going to Vesta and doing this public mission, this really could be a recon mission, intelligence gathering mission, and you and I don't know about that. It's being funded, you know, publicly, and isn't that wonderful? We went to Vesta. Could be that. I don't know. But I do know that picture, that photograph released by NASA is a mind-blowing photograph. I do know that when I look at that crater, all right, you've twisted my arm, and I'll admit it, it's a Chinese wedding candle. We're going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to be a part of tonight's show. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And, well, a break just took over. Caller, are you willing to hang on through this break?
Yes, I am.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away.
From Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And I was giving the telephone number as a call came in and as we went to break. So let me give the telephone number and then, caller, we'll get right to you. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you're in the USA or Canada, that's the number to use, 623-444-5889. It can be accessed. You can call it from anywhere in the galaxy. If you have phone service, you can call that number, and I will put you on the air. Okay, now, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, we do understand international long distance is expensive, can be expensive, and so we have another option for you. If you don't want to do the international long distance call, go to my website. Scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture is a link that says Flash Message. And you can send me a flash message and participate in tonight's show that way. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
As far as that HTV-2B and the stated speed, I don't think it was a threat at other nations because really we... Ever since we had the ICBMs, we could be almost any place within a short amount of time. I'm getting to think that this is more with the secret government having control. And if you remember, Gordon Gianoio said that the elite were tricked and they're now afraid. I think this is some kind of threat that I don't know if it's a secret government or actual, you know, stated government that perceives a threat now and is trying to openly prepare for some type of defense.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I take the position that it is a message to other governments because, first of all, ICBMs have to be targeted to a specific area. This thing can be flown to anywhere. ICBMs will not necessarily reach their targets in an hour, depending upon where you have them targeted. Some targets they can be there in 20 minutes. Some targets that it's going to be a couple of hours before they're there. But this thing can be flown to anywhere in an hour, anywhere on the planet in an hour. Plus, this is a cut down, scaled down 12-foot version of what they really plan to deploy. And what they really plan to deploy may be big enough to carry some troops. So I'm just speculating. They may never do that, but they certainly can do that. They can scale it up to that size. So I think it is a threat. I think it, by threat, I mean I think other nations that are not particularly friendly to us would take this as something to at least have to sweat about just a little bit. But I think that the real mission and purpose of this test had to be something after the telemetry cut. The announcement of its top speed is an absolute guarantee that's not its top speed.
Well, I agree with you, and I liked your phrase when you said it was excessively suspicious.
It is.
I agree on that aspect.
Yeah.
Just to change a little bit, on that bullet hole on Vesta,
uh-huh.
I find it very interesting. I was like you. I said for us to be going to asteroids seemed to be a step down. But what I find interesting is how did they know to send a mission to this asteroid?
Well, I don't know, but maybe that space-based space surveillance system detected deep space forces coming and going from there. I mean, maybe. I'm speculating. Maybe that's what the deal is. I don't know. Are you watching the show tonight?
Yes, I am.
Were you a little bit amazed when I put the zooms up there where you could see what's in that crater?
Yes, especially on the bullet hole one. On the B one, with the exception of that rectangular area down in the lower left center quadrant, I don't see much in the B one, but the A one is just jumps out at you.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. And so how did they know to go take a look? Well, I don't know the answer to that. But it would appear they knew. It would appear they knew.
Yeah, I don't think they just happened to discover that. Kevin, thank you for another very interesting show.
And thank you, Jerome. I appreciate the call. 623-444-5889. What do you think about all of this? We're talking about the possibility, and I am saying the plausibility, of this phrase, the Intergalactic Defense Projects of the Pentagon. That phrase showing up all over the Internet in response to this test flight. I'm saying there is plausibility to that being an accurate description. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
Should we be surprised because, speaking of DARPA and the interconnection with them that I had at one time, even in the early 90s, or 95, there were objects already in under development, systems under development at that time, which today would be 30, 40, 50 years even further ahead. And so I'm of the opinion, and notice I'm saying this is an opinion, that they were starting to develop those systems and test them back then.
Well, I think you're right. I don't have any kind of quarrel with that notion. I think the true state of our technology is probably a minimum of 200 years ahead of what we think it is. I really do. I think it's 200 years or more ahead of what the general public thinks it is.
You know that they say that technology doubles every 10 years, but once you discover something as astounding as maybe anti-gravity or light speed technology, it doesn't take 10 years to double that technology.
No,
you
it
can
doesn't.
Double it in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know.
You're absolutely correct. You are. Well, Mike, what do you think about Vesta?
It makes me wonder if maybe that is a asteroid that they had discovered early on before NASA even sent this out, and that they have hollowed that asteroid out and are using it as maybe a space, and possibly a manufacturing facility as well.
Okay, when you say they, you mean U.S. military?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it is, though, Mike, because I don't think they would let NASA go take a picture of that.
You know, if there's a false flag going up, they may do things that we would not normally think they would do.
Good point. That's a good point. So what you're saying is it's possible this is U.S. military and they're allowing these pictures out to support a planned false flag.
Yes, and the fact that they will not give us the stats on the Blackbird, SR-71, and they were giving us stats that were by a lot of people's opinion, very fantastic with this new one, then something is wrong with the equation, because the Blackbird was nowhere near capable of this type of speed, and it could not leave the Earth's orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Or atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, it's I can smell cabbage cooking in the kitchen on this one.
Exactly. And, you know, if you look at that picture, which you've shown up, it appears to have some kind of a plasma field around it, which shows something that's being generated internally, similar to what you see on a lot of UFOs.
You're right. Now, let me say this. You bring up a good point. There are articles showing up since this launch where it's being speculated that this craft may be responsible for a lot of the UFO reports. Hang on, time out. Has anybody stopped to think this is only the second flight of this thing? And furthermore, it has to be launched on a rocket, which is not like secret. I mean, if the mission is a secret, when that rocket goes up, everyone for miles around sees it go up. And so, no, this has not been responsible for a lot of UFO reports. That's nonsense. But I'm glad that you kind of reminded me of that it does have that glow around it like a lot of the UFOs. Meaning, then, I would think, if we're getting similar results, we must have a similar vehicle. So it must be very similar to the UFOs.
Another thing, too, is that isn't it amazing that this is the public version?
Yeah.
Launched with a rocket. What about their private version that may be part of the actual U.S. space fleet we've been hearing about?
Yeah. Yeah, what we're getting to see is the obsolete stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They probably do not at any point require rockets to launch on at this point.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I personally am. Mike, I want to thank you for the call.
You're very welcome, Kevin. Good night.
Good night. 623-444-5889 would be the number to call if you have something you want to say about all of this. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fine.
This is Tony from Norman, Oklahoma.
Well, Tony, I thought you must have been abducted and taken to Venus.
No, not really. You had a guest on quite a while ago, and she was also a guest on another show. I think her first name is Joanne Richards.
Yes.
And she spoke about this secret space fleet.
That's right.
And her husband was framed for murder.
That's right.
And she spoke about a meeting that was held or called between us and a number of alien races, and it was held at Vesta.
I'll take your word for that. I don't remember that, honestly, but I'm not certainly not saying that she didn't say that. It's been so long ago, and I've interviewed so many people, I just don't remember that detail. Tony, can you hang on while we take this break?
Definitely.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Hang on to your hat. Strap your socks on. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have Tony from Norman, Oklahoma on the line, and I want to make sure that we didn't cut you off too soon. We had to kind of cut right to the break, so Tony, why don't you just pick up and run with the ball here. What are your thoughts about all this?
Well, the thing, I think it was on Joe Montaldo's show that she was on also. And I'm not sure that she mentioned this on your show or not, but I know she mentioned it on the other show.
Okay.
And she did say that this, I don't know whether you would call it a meeting, whatever it was called, and it was held at Vesta.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never heard of Vesta before and did some checking to find out what it was and found out that it was an asteroid.
Well, maybe they had a meeting in the bullet hole crater.
It sure looks like that could be the place.
Tony, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
You take care, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889. now's the time to call if you're going to do so, because we're going to run out of time. Let me say also, we have a flash message that came in from Abu in Afghanistan, except Abu, all I get, I don't even get the message, but I do get your real location in California. Won't work, my friend, it won't work. We do have telephones, though, for you, and I invite you to use the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Debbie from Columbus.
Hello, Debbie.
First, I want to say thank you very much for mentioning the conference coming up this weekend here in Columbus. I do appreciate that, and I'm sure Jerry appreciates it, too.
Well, and I hope everybody gets out there to see Jerry and meet him personally. Have you ever met him in person?
No. This will be my first time. I mean, you know, I'm just friends kind of through him because, you know, you're a friend of his also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of a mutual friend.
You're going to like it.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, you're going to like it. Yeah. Okay, what do you think about all this here tonight?
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think it's really interesting that you're talking about these ships. I don't know if you remember Ed Grimsley's conference about 2 years ago in Sedona.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you and I met for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to believe that what Ed showed us in the night vision field goggles is actually what Joanne Richards was talking about at that conference. That is that what we saw up there were the ships of the Interplanetary Space Command, or whatever you want to call it. But I think Mike from Kentucky's got it right. We've had this, I also believe you also, we've had this information and this ability to be able to do these supersonic ships that do not use fossil fuels to operate for a number of years now. I think we've had that ability probably since the 50s. You know, going back to when our government, members of our government first met the star beings that came down and, you know, had that secret meeting with them and exchanged information. I believe that that's definitely true. We've had that ability for the last 60-some-odd years, maybe even before then, who knows. But I do believe that what has been stated about this space vehicle, because that's what I'm going to call it, I think that once, as you said, it hit 13,000 miles an hour, they pretty much, like you said, well, you know, we've proven it, so now we're going to try to fool the public by putting out some disinformation saying that suddenly we hit Mach 20, and then after that, it just disappeared.
Yeah, we lost it.
I don't believe that's the case.
Well, listen, because we're sort of short on time, let me butt in and say this.
Mm-hmm.
For you and for everybody listening, folks, you do realize that if this is real, this intergalactic defense project, it means the galactic defense project has already been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
It means we can already fly all over this galaxy if this is real. And so intergalactic means leaving the galaxy to do business in other star systems. Yeah, in other galaxies, not just other star systems, other galaxies.
Right.
Yeah, well, Debbie, thanks for the call. I got to run.
Okay, thanks. Bye, Captain.
All right. Okay, we have time for one more call. If you call right now, we have time to just time to squeeze it in. And there's the last caller right there. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, it's Francois from Montreal.
Yes, Francois.
I can hear you just faintly, so I'm just going to talk and cut the sound on my computer.
Thanks for the call. I got a room.
Okay. I have a document here. It's called, it's about 100 pages. It's called, Army Science Board Summer Study Final Report, Army Science Board, Prioritizing Army Space Needs. It's from July 1999, and in that document, they say they want to have an effective space fleet for 2010.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a real thing, you know, like it says, disclaimer, this report is a product of the Army Science Board. The ASB is an independent objective advisory group of the Secretary of the Army and the Chief of Staff, Army CSA, statement, opinion, and whatever. So I send it to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Francois, thanks for the call, but I have to run.
Okay, close the show.
All right. Bye. And thank you for the call, and I look forward to reading that. And by the way, any of you who have things like that to send me, all you got to do, just go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, click on the menu over there where it says contact, a contact menu pops up, and one of those is suggestions. So you're suggesting that I read something, click that. You can type your message in, and you can attach the file right there, okay? And I depend on those. I really do. I depend on you contacting me with information. And I've told you so many times, you make this show. You are where the shows come from. Okay, so be sure you do that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to bring this one in for a landing. Boy, I'll tell you what. Some heavy information, it really is. One of the problems is there are people who say, well, I don't know whether I want to believe that or not. And I continually say, there's nothing to believe. This is not religion. This doesn't require faith. You just look at the information that is available and know that information. Later, more information will become available. In time, more stuff gets out, and you add that to what you already know. And the pile of what you know keeps growing and getting bigger. That's what this is about. There's nothing to believe. Hey, I'm not a TV evangelist. I'm not asking you to believe anything. But I do think you have a right to know. Don't you? I think you have a right to know. And a lot of times, as I said, people don't put all of these disparate facts and events together in a picture. So hopefully we've done that here tonight. Stanton Friedman is going to be my guest tomorrow night, and I hope you'll join us as we get a chance once again to talk with Stanton Friedman. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.